This is The Gaggle with David Helfenbein.
This week on The Gaggle, we have Abby Huntsman. Abby Huntsman is a Fox News anchor and correspondent. Abby, thanks so much for coming on.
David, this is like the highlight of my career so far. I'm so excited to join you. I was going to say, I'm just bummed I wasn't your very first guest.
Well, Abby and I have actually known each other for some time. Abby went to the University of Pennsylvania with me, and Abby has been involved in broadcasting for a number of years. Abby, can you give a little background into your career in broadcasting and how you first started?
Yeah, well, I started at really a young age. It really started when I was doing musical theater. I used to act when I was younger, and I loved performing. I loved the idea of entertaining an audience. And as I got older, I wondered, how can I perform but also learn about issues that are going on that are impacting our lives? And my best friend in high school, her mom was our local news anchor. And I would go to her office after work, and I was just mesmerized by what she did. And I thought, one day I really want to do this. And so, you know, as life went on, my dad was in politics and he ran for governor. And obviously when you are in public office, there are reporters around you all the time. And I found that I was so much more interested in what they were doing than anything else. So I would kind of sit with them and watch how they did their job. I'd ask them a million questions. And so when I went to college, I knew that was where I wanted to end up. I didn't quite know in what capacity or what exactly I would be doing, but I really loved media. I loved being able to tell stories and the idea of impacting people's lives in some way. And so when I got to college, I ended up getting an internship, as you know, David, at ABC News in New York at Good Morning America. It was my sophomore summer, and that really changed my life. I mean, you know, you're serving coffee and you're, you know, washing the dishes after the cooking segments. You're doing things that aren't necessarily glamorous, but you're seeing the action. You're seeing it at a national level. And Diane Sawyer became sort of my idol. And I would watch her and I would, you know, do anything that she would ask. And I loved how she conducted herself and how she did the interviews. And she just represented such class to me. So I thought one day, you know, if I ever had the opportunity, I would love to learn from her and sort of try to be more like she is. And so I stayed on that path. I thought maybe I'd be a producer. I didn't really know. And ended up moving to China with my husband for a year. And we came back. My dad was running for president. And that's sort of when I got thrown back out in the media again, but on the on-air side. And it just came pretty natural to me. I think because I'd been working behind the scenes for a number of years. I grew up acting. And it just sort of fell into place. And it felt really comfortable. And I really enjoyed it. And one thing led to the next, and I've sort of just taken each chapter as it comes. So my first real job on air was, you know, launching HuffPost Live, which was Huffington Post's live streaming channel. I figured if I really want to succeed in this business and be a host one day, I have to learn how to do it. I can't just, you know, start at CNN and just and fall because I've never been trained. And so I started at the internet level, and I really used it as a playground. And learned a ton. And from there, I went to MSNBC and hosted a show, and now I'm at Fox. So it's been a fun ride and an unpredictable one. People ask, you know, what is the pathway to success? Not that I'm successful by any means, but, you know, how did you get there? And there really isn't a perfect pathway. I mean, everyone finds their own way. What I always do say, though, is you've got to figure out something that you're good at. And for me, I guess it was politics that I just understood having grown up in it. And also just being yourself. As long as you're yourself out there and you're comfortable and people feel like you're likable and they want to listen to you, then that goes so far in television because it's really hard to find real people that are the same on and off camera. That's something I've learned over the years is there are a lot of actors out there and their career either doesn't last as long or they don't get as far as they want to go.
What is the best advice you've received?
It was probably from Diane von Furstenberg, who's, of course, you know, the, you know, designer and just an incredible woman and role model for so many women coming up. But she told me when I interviewed her, she said, you can only be the best person you can be. You can only be your best self. And I thought about that. And I remember when I first started at MSNBC, and it was a big jump from the internet channel because I went from the internet to being on a cable show every day, being a host. And I'd never done that before. And I would watch people around me, and I would try to do things exactly the way they did. I would try to read the prompter the way they did. I'd try to ask questions like them. And in time, I realized I'm never going to be them because I don't have their brain. I don't have their personality. I'm not them. And so then I started focusing on myself and how I could be better. I could take things from people and learn along the way, but I could only be my best self and then be comfortable in that. And I think that that has really helped me in my career where, you know, you don't sit and compare yourself all the time because no matter how hard I try, I'm not going to be, you know, one of my co-hosts who's a legal expert. That's just not my background.
You talked about your routine at Good Morning America. What is your routine like today? Is it standard? Is every day the same or is it different?
Let me be honest.
Yeah.
Because it's not a fun routine necessarily, but you have to, I also say you have to love what you do because in TV, the hours are not always great. And it's grueling and the pressure is really high. So my average day, like today, for example, I got up at 1:15 a.m., set 3 alarms because I had an experience where I missed the alarm one time and woke up when the show was already going on. And that was just a horrible experience. I'll never live down. So now I have 3 alarms set every night and jump in the car by 1:45. I'm at the studio by 2. You run through what you know you have coming up, do hair and makeup, figure out what you're going to wear. I'm on the air by 4, and we did a special today because it was the primaries for West Virginia. And so we did that for 2 hours, and, you know, by 6 o'clock, you have, like, a high after the show, but then come, like, 11 a.m., you're drained. I mean, you don't know where you are. But this is, you know, day after day of doing it. So that's a normal day for me. Sometimes I'll go and do another hit with Fox and Friends, or they'll send me out to do a piece as well. And those are the long days. But right now I'm sort of being thrown all over the place. So I went to the Kentucky Derby last weekend, which was really fun. Got to report there. But I'm not sleeping a whole lot, which is not the best thing for lifestyle or for my husband's sake. But you know what? I think it's a period in life that you just sacrifice and you work your heart out and you prove that you want this. And it only makes you better, hopefully.
Can you talk a little bit about stories that have had a big impact on you?
Yeah, I mean, the ones that have the biggest impact on me are the ones that are personal, the ones that I can actually relate to because it's really coming from the heart. So when you tell these stories, people can feel your emotion. I mean, that's another thing I've learned is when you watch someone on camera, you can tell right away who that person is. You can feel their heart. You can sense sort of, are they a good person or not? And for me, I've grown up in a family that's always taken service very seriously. My dad has been in politics and served as, you know, ambassador a number of times. And now my 2 brothers are in the military. They're in the Navy. And so for me, it hits very close to home and something I'm very passionate about because it's not just the military. It's not just me reporting on, you know, the number of troops we're sending over to Syria or Iraq. It's my brothers. It's real to me. These are real human beings. I've gotten to know their friends. They come over to our house from the Naval Academy, and they're just incredible people. And when we talk about the military, we talk about the war on terror. So many times I watch people, I listen to people that just don't have a personal connection to it, and they can just, you know, read the prompter about it or, you know, give talking points that they can make sense. But it's not coming from a place where they really appreciate or fully understand the sacrifice that it takes. And in my family, we see it every day. And so there are a number of families I know that can also relate to that. United McCain is a good friend of mine, for example. She's also at Fox, and we definitely bond over that. This is just real. These are real life realities and stories that we tell. So that's something that hits very close to home for me, probably more than anything else.
As you said, your dad was the Republican governor of Utah and the ambassador to China. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like growing up in a political family and what that means to you?
I mean, that's all I ever knew. My dad was, we lived overseas a number of times starting when I was 2 years old. We moved around. I probably moved 12, 15 times. I went to 4 high schools, lived in Taiwan, lived in Singapore when he was ambassador, China, of course. Then we lived in D.C. He was trade ambassador. And our family was always so close. And so I don't think I really fully appreciated everything that he did until I got older and could figure it out, you know, from a much more mature perspective. But we were all just, my siblings and I are best friends, as you know, David. We were all very close, and it was just the world that I knew. It was just the way I grew up. So, you know, we lived in embassies, and we became very close with the people that worked with us, and that was just our life. We always would drive around with American flags on our cars, and, you know, I feel really lucky for that upbringing. It wasn't easy all the time because I was a new girl in school 4 years in a row in high school, which is not fun when you're trying out for the tennis team or chorus or anything else or making new friends. But looking back, I think that matured me so much and has allowed me to be the person I am today, you know, because I've had to grow up fast. I've had to meet with diplomats and dignitaries from the age of 2 years old. You know, my parents would have us perform at our, you know, at the embassy in Singapore whenever anyone would come over to visit, whether it was MC Hammer or, you know, any sort of American band or celebrity, we would entertain them. And so my dad would have my sisters and I sing or play the piano or perform for them. So at a very young age, we were taught, you know, the importance of shaking hands and conducting yourself in a way that was presentable. So I feel lucky for that upbringing. But honestly, at the time, I don't think I knew anything different. But now I look back and I feel like it was, wow, what a cool upbringing it was.
Over the years, the times that I have seen you most personally impacted are times that your dad has been personally attacked, which often happens, obviously, in politics. I'm curious, as a reporter, how you view personal attacks on other politicians. Are you reluctant to report them? Do you feel that this happens too much in politics? Do you think that politics has become too divisive today? What are your feelings, both as a reporter and as a relative of a politician?
Yeah, because I've had a unique experience from seeing it from both sides. And I've been on the other end where my dad has been attacked, where, you know, our family's been talked about, and it's hard. I mean, going through that experience with my dad running, there were so many highs and so many lows, and we wouldn't change it. It changed all of our lives for the better, but there were many moments that were incredibly difficult and emotional and tough to get through, and a lot of it was articles that came out or hearing people say things about my dad that weren't true or that were just hurtful. And so now when I'm out reporting, and especially during this election cycle, and I have to talk about, you know, I remember I had to read a story on Ted Cruz's little girl and the ad, some ad that he made about them and some book and how corny it was. And I remember after I read the story, I was on Fox Defense and I said, you know what, I've been through this, you know, and I always defend the families because the media oftentimes never understands how a family feels going through it. And so I feel it's my job as someone that has been in that situation to tell that story and to remind people that they are human beings and that they are just like us. And, you know, it's so easy to hit on other people and to always find fault. We always want to, you know, put people down because it makes us somehow feel better. That's why we love the tabloids, right? And so seeing it from both perspectives, now I really feel it's part of my duty to continue to remind people that I work with just the human side of politics. And so I wrote a piece recently for a magazine about the emotions that a family goes through when you drop out of a race. And I cannot tell you how many people come up to me after that I work with saying, I had no idea. I'm so glad that you wrote that because we report on this all the time and we don't even think about the emotional toll that it takes and how real that it is. Because we, you know, they talk about the poll numbers and they, you know, they sit and attack every little thing about the person, the family. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great question and it's something that I feel I often need to speak out about, and I hope that it has some sort of impact because politics has gotten so divisive and so ugly, and it's horrible. I mean, I think about, you know, this next generation and someday when I have kids of what politics is going to be like, and now we have social media, and it's just we're attacking people on how they look now. I mean, it's no longer just the issues, and I think it's gone way out of hand.
What's going on with the Republican Party today?
Well, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on with the party. I think for one thing, it's totally blowing up. And Donald Trump came in at an incredibly important time, I think, for the party, where not a lot of people realized that his message and his tone and this, you know, person as an outsider would have such an effect on this race. And, you know, my family, we sensed it 4 years ago. There was such an anger with the party. There was obviously an anger with President Obama, but especially with the Republican Party, there was an anger around the establishment. They were so frustrated about being told what to do and how to vote, and that basically the establishment wing of the party, the elite, decided everything for the Republican Party. So I'm not surprised to see this movement happen. I think Trump represents someone that is potentially something very different than we've had in the past few cycles, which people are wanting. I think he is also someone that you know right away why he's running. You know, to make America great again, whether he's going to deliver on that or not, we'll wait to see if he even wins and can deliver. But I think people feel excited about the fact that he is so pro-America, that even though he said some things about immigration that a number of people don't agree with and other things, he's made it clear that his focus is America and fighting ISIS and terrorism and getting back to getting this country great again. And I think there's a hunger out there for that. You see Bernie Sanders, I think the same thing is going on with him, is he represents sort of this outsider, this authentic guy who is fighting for, you know, the American people. And you can define with him, too, why he's running. It's to, you know, make it so everyone has an opportunity, that things are more affordable, so that, you know, so we all live more equally. Whether you agree with that or not, you can define both with Trump and Sanders why they're running. And with everyone else out there that has run or is still in there, it's really hard to define in one sentence why they're running. So I think it's a movement. I think it's a time in our history where we're frustrated and people want to change and people are so sick of nothing getting done and they're sick of the elites controlling the party. And I think with Trump, that's exactly what's going on. It's crazy, but it's actually not that crazy when you look back at how frustrated the party has been in years past.
I usually end with a question asking about advice for other people, but since we started with that, my question for you will be, Abby, what do you do to relax since you have such a busy life, and does it have anything to do with your dog?
Well, my dog is sitting on my feet right now, so it certainly has something to do with my dog. I've got the cutest golden retriever ever. He's my best friend, which is so nice in the afternoons to come home to him. But my guilty pleasure, to be honest, with my days that I get up so early, I usually, this is sad to say, but like twice a week I'll stop at this Chinese foot reflexology place. It's $25 an hour, and they massage your feet for an hour, and it for whatever reason, does wonders. It hurts a lot of times, if anyone's ever done it, but it really is good for your circulation, and I find it totally resets everything. So that's definitely something that I do in the afternoons just to relax. But otherwise, I love being outside. I love moving. I love I walk everywhere. I love to run and listen to music. So nothing crazy, but I'm a pretty simple gal at the end of the day. A dog, a foot massage, and a nice run outside, and I'm pretty happy.
And if people want to follow you on social media or your dog on social media, you're both there, right?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. I was walking in the West Village a few weeks ago, and someone came up to me, and they said, "Are you Golden George's mom?" Golden George is my dog's Instagram account. They had no idea who I was, but they knew who my dog was. And I thought, boy, has life changed with social media. It's hysterical. So you can find George. He's on Instagram. He's at golden.george. And I'm at Huntsman Abbey on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat, and everything else. So that's where we are.
Wonderful. Abby Huntsman, thank you so much. Fox News anchor and correspondent. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, David. I'm honored to join. Anytime.